This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
It's better.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
The Five Star Zone with Rico Beard.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of the Five Star Zone. I'm your host, Rico Beard. Harold Shelton from the Big Ten Network, kind enough to join me. Harold, probably after last weekend, we saw some games, you know, the Penn State Ohio State game, that was the marquee game. This weekend, maybe not so much. You got the Friday night tilt, Iowa and UCLA, who looks like they finally is ready to show up to the Big Ten. I mean, they started the year off, and it was kind of like the Deshaun Foster at Big Ten Media Day. Like, do they realize where they're at right now? And now they're actually playing some pretty decent football. Iowa's a team that I don't really understand. I mean, they are truly the Forrest Gump team of the Big Ten. They're a box of chocolate. You really don't know what you're going to get from week to week. You see the team that gets dismantled by Michigan State, and then they turn around and, you know, drop 40-something. What do you take away from this game?
Well, I think UCLA's biggest issue was that schedule early on. I mean, you had to travel out to the islands, and then as soon as you come back, you're playing LSU, you're playing Indiana, you're playing Oregon, you're playing Penn State. So they didn't really have a chance to get their footing. They played a bunch of really good teams right off the bat. And, you know, as we look at it now, what LSU, Penn State, Oregon, Indiana are all top 15 teams, and you're playing all of them in a row. They don't, you know, trying to get your system in with a bunch of new players and stuff like that. I know Kurt Cignetti makes it look easy, but it's not easy. And so I think now, you know, they kind of figure some things out. I think Garbers is playing much better. The defense is playing better, and they get a couple road wins. It was weird. They don't have a home win yet. All three of their wins have been on the road. But now they get Iowa. I think Iowa might actually be better with the quarterback change, going with Sullivan instead of McNamara. They seem to be able to run the ball a little more with him in the game. They got the Big Ten running back of the year, Caleb Johnson. He's been the one constant throughout for that offense. And, you know, the defense, you put the ball in harm's way, they're going to take it from you. And, they beat down Wisconsin. I mean, absolutely beat them down. And so both teams are trending up. It should be a pretty interesting game.
And then I'm looking at this, and I didn't realize that UCLA has not won a game at home. I mean, I've seen, like, all the different road games. And I guess, I mean, how much of that is – it's funny because the ultimate goal for Big Ten teams were playing the Rose Bowl. They play in the Rose Bowl every week, and – it's an empty stadium. They don't have a home crowd. They don't have much of an advantage. I got to think that Iowa's probably going to pack that joint out. Maybe that helps them because it'll feel like a road game. Because I'm sure for Iowa, you know, a lot of Iowa fans was like, oh, shoot, yeah, L.A. in November, sign me up. Because, hey, trust me, when MSU goes out, I think the USC next year, I'm definitely going to try to make that game. I guess it's just weird because they don't have a home field advantage, because I've often said that when you got a choice between watching a mediocre football team and the beach and the girls win every time.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. And then, no, I think for the next couple of years, it's kind of going to be like that with UCLA. These Big Ten teams that haven't played in the Rose Bowl in however long, like, they're going to make the trip. So, like, Minnesota, they hadn't been since 1960. They sent 15,000 out there. Indiana hadn't been since 68. They sent 15,000 out there. You know, Iowa's been about 10 years. They're going to send a ton of people. And until UCLA actually starts winning again, the crowd's going to be kind of, eh. You know, they're an hour from campus, so they are already were at a disadvantage anyway. And now you take it to the fact that the Big Ten teams are planning on making this trip because they either haven't been there that long, or it's, oh, it's L.A. in November or October. Right. Yeah, sure, I'll definitely go to that. So, like you said, maybe that'll eventually help them. I do think UCLA is playing a lot better, but I think Iowa's a better team.
And now you just mentioned them. Minnesota. Minnesota kind of went from an also-ran team to Minnesota's like one of the hottest teams in the Big Ten right now. What's caused that difference that has Minnesota and the boat rowing in this one direction that's called winning games?
Yeah, I think it's a couple of things. They found themselves in that Michigan game. I know it got out of hand early. You know, it gave up a couple of big plays on special teams and stuff like that. But it looks like when they were trying to come back before the onside kick thing happened, the quarterback, Max Brosmer, who was the transfer from New Hampshire, it took him a while to get going. And then that fourth quarter, he threw like three touchdown passes, and it was kind of like, oh, we might have something here. And that's carried over ever since. And then their best high school recruit, Coy Parrish, didn't really play early in the year. And now he looks like he might be the best defensive freshman in the conference. You know, he's getting picks what seems like every game. You know, he sealed the USC game in the end zone. He sealed the UCLA game in the end zone. That's a defense that's taking the ball away at a really high clip, you know, top five in the country in terms of picks. And so they're starting to put it together. We know Darius Taylor, you know, local kid, starting to get it going again too. Had a nice game against Illinois. And it's going to be interesting. Like, they should beat Rutgers this week. And then you get Penn State at home. And, like, That they could be a fly in the ointment for this whole playoff thing for the Big Ten if they knocked them off.
Yeah, Penn State didn't disappoint. Penn State did what Penn State does, and they lose the game to Ohio State. No offensive touchdowns. I mean, if you're James Franklin, the best thing that can happen to you is the fact that you still ranked high in the college football playoff rankings. You won't go to Indianapolis, and that should – pretty much lock you up a home game at in Happy Valley. It's weird to say that a loss was probably your best victory because you don't have the pressure of playing another top team until you get to a college football playoff game. So I was just shocked because people were like, oh, no, they can do it. I was like, guys, I'm telling you, Penn State will always go Penn State. Franklin will always go Franklin. And he did not disappoint. I mean, he showed more aggressiveness talking to the fan in the stands leaving the game than actually, you know, with plays on the field.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply. It's better.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800.
See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Ohio State didn't really, I don't know. Harold, they just still seem broken to me. It's something wrong. They're not broken, but they seem sick. It's just like that nagging cough, and I don't know how to get rid of it. I don't feel confident when I look at this Buckeye team. They got the stars. It seems like they got the Jimmys and the Joes, but they can't just turn that corner and just dominate. And I don't know. Maybe I'm just comparing them to teams of the past, but other Buckeye teams – Harold, when I look at this Buckeye team, am I wrong for just not – I don't see them the same way. They used to be feared. They're not feared anymore.
No, I think that's fair. Again, we're so used to seeing a Bosa brother or a Chase Young, you know, coming off that edge, scaring the life out of you, and they don't have that. And I certainly think that's part of it. You know, those Urban Meyer teams, they had, you know, corners everywhere – really good linebackers, really good edge rushers. And, you know, they will strike fear in you, and they don't have that. Offensively, I still think there are guys there. They don't have a quarterback that I think will, you know, make you afraid, but the receivers certainly there. The running backs, when they get going, are certainly there. And I thought it was encouraging at the end of the game against Penn State after they got that stop on fourth down. They never gave the ball back. They had it at their own one. It was over 5 minutes left. They were in that four-minute offense. They didn't throw the ball one time, and they just got chunk after chunk after chunk, first down after first down, and was able to kill the clock. And so I thought that was interesting because the Oregon game, they went away from it. Second half, they got stopped. They got completely overwhelmed against Nebraska. But yet, in this type of game, this type of environment, we got to run to win. They were able to do that, and we'll see if that carries over. We won't really know much until they play Indiana, because they got Purdue and Northwestern next two games, and those are games that really won't tell you that much.
No, absolutely not. Speaking of Indiana, before we get to the game that they're going to play against the Wolverines, for the first, good news is if you're Michigan State, you gave Indiana the first deficit of the season. You scored the first touchdown in the first quarter against Indiana. They spotted you 10 points and then scored 47 unanswered points. Like I said, to me, the best way I could describe it, it was the Chappelle skit with Rick James on the couch with the muddy shoes, because that's what Indiana and Cignetti did, as they just pounded the couch over and over again, telling you how they think about your couch. They walked in there. They still had the starters in. Cignetti has this team fully bought in. We're going to get to them in a second. If you're Michigan State, you go into the bye week. If you're Jonathan Smith, how do you handle just that type of a football assassination that happened in your home field?
I think you just got to flush it and move on. And I think if you're a Michigan State fan, the encouraging thing was we saw how good they looked after the bye week against Iowa, and they were able to fix whatever it was. They self-scouted. They figured out their issues, because the Ohio State and Oregon games were back-to-back, and we saw them get dominated up front in both of those games. And then they went into the bye, and the week after that, you're like, whoa, they ran for 200 yards. They threw for 250-something. It looked balanced. So – again, this was the worst that I've seen them all year up front, both sides of the ball. I mean, you know, just gave up 7 sacks, 15 tackles for loss. I think it was negative 36 rushing yards. You get Childs knocked out of the game because you can't protect them. So that's by far the worst that I've seen them. But if there is hope, if there is solace you want to take from it, it's that it seems that he's done a really good job so far coming out of that bye week against a good opponent. You got a winnable game at Illinois after the bye. Childs is supposed to be back for that. And you see what you got from there.
All right, Indiana, Michigan. If I would have told you a team was going to be favored by 14 at the beginning of the year, you probably thought it was going to be the University of Michigan. Michigan took on Oregon, and it kind of went the way that we all thought it was going to go. Oregon, you can't tell me that coaches don't know what the point spread is, because other than that, I don't know why Oregon scored a touchdown with 30 seconds to go when they didn't have to, except for it was a lot of people that were happy, myself included, that they scored that touchdown. It was meaningless, but it really wasn't. It helped out our pocketbooks. Now you're going to go to Bloomington. You're going to play Indiana and this team. Indiana made it into the initial college football playoff ranking. I guess, Harold, how do you see this thing going? Is this two quarterback system the way for Michigan for the rest of the year? And can this defense slow down Indiana?
I mean, I kind of think it has to be if you're Michigan. I think the biggest issue for them is when they got in that hole against Oregon, they don't have the offense to climb out of it. They just don't have the weapons. You know, you got Colston Loveland, but the receivers are, you know, pretty average for the most part. You know, Tyler Morris had a nice catch in the end zone. But when you get out 28-10 against an explosive offense, like, good luck trying to come back. The run game hasn't been what it's been. And you're facing an Indiana team who's super explosive as well. And they lead the Big Ten in sacks. So if you wind up trailing and then you get in the pass rush drill, like, best of luck. We saw what happened last week when it got to that. And so, now I would be surprised if Michigan was able to win this game. I do think, you know, Indiana, probably for the first time really all year, is kind of like, okay, you got a brand name in front of you now. All eyes are on you. The slate's not that great. 3:30 game, CBS. Let's see what you got. People saying you're underrated, or people saying you hadn't played anybody. These are the defending champs. Let's see what you got. And so I think Indiana has shown me up to this point that they'll meet that moment. There hasn't been anything I've seen otherwise that suggests that they won't. And they've got big plays, offense, defense, special teams, as we saw with the block punt last week. They're dialed in all over the place. You know, they're favored for the first time since 1968 against Michigan. And I think I'd be comfortable going ahead and laying that.
Yeah, I mean, I look at this Indiana team and Rourke, your quarterback. I mean, just as you stated, offense, defense, special teams. Against Michigan State, they were like, yeah, we knew the long snapper was hurt, so we just decided to attack that. It's the attack mode, the attack mentality. I don't know if this is sustainable for the Hoosiers, but when I look at, like, the college football playoff rankings that came out, I still feel like they're just getting disrespected. Yep. If you put a Trojan on that helmet, if you gave them a Buckeye helmet, they would not be sitting there at eight. They would actually, you know, no, I don't even think they're eight. Are they nine?
So in the bracket, they're nine because of, like, the BYU being behind them. They would get the automatic. But, right. Yeah, they're eight. And I think they're better than Penn State. I think they're better than Tennessee. You know, like, I know, like you said, people haven't played anybody, but they've won every game by 14 points. They lead the country in margin victory. Like, they're a really good team.
Look, if you're going to give it to Penn State, who finally played somebody and didn't score offensive touchdown, they're still ranked higher than them, and this team's undefeated, and you play who's on your schedule. You can't help that the other teams really are bad and they suck. But look, we're going to talk about this in a few weeks. I'm just going to go on the record right now. I think they go into Columbus and they beat the Buckeyes. This team is a lot better than what they are, and Ohio State struggles. And if you show a tiny little bit of struggle against them, it's over. It's a boat race. They will just run the ball and throw it down your throat, and you can't stop them. I just laugh because if they had Ohio State across their jersey, they would be like a top
three or four. Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, there's no let up. I mean, the game last week, they're up 40-10, 47-10. They're deep in their own end. It's fourth down. Nope, we're running it. We're going to go. Gets first down. Like, they never wound up punting the ball back, even though they were up 30, had multiple fourth downs in their own end. They said, nope. We believe in our scheme. We're going first down. Like, they are always in attack mode. He never seems happy with their performance as it's going on. Like, those dudes are just completely dialed in. And, you know, the culture he's building there right now, he brought 13 dudes with him from James Madison. and they're all playing and they're all really good. So
yeah. Now, as far as Michigan goes, it's really getting to the point now. When or if do you think that they will just, some of your players are going to, for lack of a better term, they're going to opt out. Now, they won't come out and say I'm opting out. They'll say it's an injury. Like Will Johnson hasn't played in a long time. You know, Colston Loveland, they don't need the wear and tear on their bodies. These guys are going to be first round selections. You know, Graham and Grant, like, do you see this kind of coming up soon? I mean, I think it was Grant spoke and was like, no, you got to go out there and play. But if I'm their agent, if I'm their family, for what? Because, you know, you got bigger fish to fry in the league, and there's really nothing. What, are you trying to save it all for, what, a pinstripe bowl? Because you're not going to the playoffs.
Yeah, I wonder if some of it, too, is because of the schedule that they have. There's a lot of opponents there where you could put some good tape together for some scouts, like the Oregon game. You know, you're playing against a really good offensive line and a good quarterback, good running backs. And so if I show well on this, that can kind of help me boost my stock. And, you know, they play Indiana, they play Ohio State. So those are going to be two very notable games. And, you know, there's chances there where if Mason Graham is bullying both of those offensive lines or Kenneth Grant's doing the same, then it's like, see, I performed at my best, even in a down season. You know, I gave it my all against these two really, really good teams and showed my value and proved my worth. So I do see your point for sure, but I think there is another side to it when you got some big games and big opponents coming up. That's a chance for me to show out some more in front of the scouts.
Fair enough. So the initial playoff rankings come out. What was your thought on them? Did they get it right? Who was too high? Who was too low? Who was missing?
I was a little surprised Ohio State was ahead of Georgia. I mean, it's not a huge deal between 2 and 3, but I was a little surprised to see that. I thought it was interesting that it's pretty much the exact same as the AP poll. Like, if you looked at the bracket, it was exactly the same. You know, outside of Georgia and Ohio State being 2-3, I think LSU and A&M being 14 and 15 was the only other difference. Everything else was the same. Again, I think Indiana was too low. You know, we talked about it. If that was a different helmet, I think they'd be higher. But again, I know they haven't beaten a ranked team, and that's being held against them. But if you're going by eye test, which they've done for teams like Miami, then why can't you do the same for Indiana? That team is leading the country in point differential by 4 points per game more than any other team. Like, I think that should be enough if you're talking about eye test. Like, I looked into it, and you're talking about teams that were 9-0. To have that kind of point differential, you're talking about like Michigan from last year, 2019 Ohio State, these LSU Alabama teams from 19 and 20. They were all ranked in the top three. And Indiana's at 8. So you mean to tell me if they had a different helmet or a different name that they would be at 8? Like, I have a hard time believing that.
Yeah, that's one, because I guess as if they were to play right now, it would be a game on the road.
They'd be playing Tennessee.
And I think they would beat them. I mean, exactly. It's kind of funny looking at the potential first round matchups. Notre Dame would be in Happy Valley. I'm assuming mm-hmm. they would try to make that a whiteout, but I would probably take Notre Dame in that. Boise State can't stop the run, but I don't know if Ohio State can stop Ashton Booty. So that would be an entertaining game. And then I think it would be Alabama and Texas. And I think everybody mm-hmm. would be all in for that game to be played. So I think the college football playoff format is going to give people what they want. A lot of people were like, no, it's too much. And I kept saying, there's no such thing as too much football if you have good matchups. It's like, because let's face it, most of the bowl games that you watch, Harold, they end up becoming good games. But you don't sit down saying, hey, I'm getting ready to watch this bad bowl game. I'm getting ready to watch the Pinstripe Bowl. I'm getting ready to watch the
Gasparilla Bowl.
Right, the Pop-Tart Bowl. But then all of a sudden, you're like, you get a text from somebody, hey, man, you watching this game? And then you get all in.
Yep.
I think with these games, the way it's setting up, I love the fact that it's a home field for teams 5 through 8. Because I do think it's an equalizer for the teams in the North who always had to go to Florida or always had to go to California. you know, what happens now if Alabama has to come to Columbus in December? You got to go to Happy Valley in December. That's where I think it would be a head scratcher. Now, it is funny because I do wonder, like, if Indiana made it and got a home game, would they play it in Indianapolis at the Dome, or would they play it in Bloomington on their field? That's one where I would try to play everything outside. I would try to use the elements to my advantage, but I know that they do have that option where they can move it into a dome stadium. If like the Colts aren't playing that weekend, they could play it in there. So it's just something to watch out for. I'm with you. I thought Indiana was too high. Indiana was too low. I thought Penn State was too high. Ohio State and Georgia is basically the Spider-Man meme. You got a lot of expectations, but, you know, Carson Beck and three picks was like, dude, you're finding ways to win games. Ohio State's finding ways to win games, but you're not looking that dominant. Oregon's looking like the only dominant team. And really, Oregon looks like the sprinter in the Olympics in the quarterfinals. Like, they hit that limiter. Once they hit 35 points, they shut everything down and just power down the offense and just kind of cruise. And I don't think they've cracked 38 points in a long time. Like, that's their magical number. It's like a race to 35, and then they may kick a field goal, and then we'll just be done. Well, except for last week, they scored a touchdown. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Once they get to 30-something and you're sitting there in single digits, all right, we're good. We don't need to really go out there. So, I wonder what would happen if they had to play another game like the Ohio State game where you got to dial up offense all throughout the game. That would be something for me. What you got stat-wise? I know you got something.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Oregon thing is a good point. It's been interesting because in the first half, they've dominated all year long. They've led it to half against everybody except for Boise State. And that third quarter, for whatever reason, like you said, maybe it's because they've dominated so much in those first 30 minutes that they got such a comfortable lead. And they're just like, we're good. We'll power down. Oh, you cut it to 14. Okay, we'll get another score. And all right, then we'll power down. Seems like they don't really care about running it up like some other coaches and other teams do. They just seem more than fine with just winning by 17, 20. Because they certainly could have done more against Michigan State and UCLA. I think they could have done more against Michigan, but you know, they decided against it. I mean, I think for me, the Washington-Penn State game is interesting. I want to see if Penn State, how they bounce back. I think the whiteout will help them, but do you kind of have this, not again. We lost to these dudes again. Now we're not going to Big Ten again.
I think that helps Penn State because it's almost letting you off the hook. The college playoff format was made for James Franklin. It was like he was in the room because it allows you to lose that game, and normally your season would be over. It's not. And you get the added non-pressure of you won't play in the Big Ten title game. So you won't go up against Ohio State or Oregon again. And you set yourself for a cushy home game because you'll probably be a seed 5 through 8 with just one loss. So I get what you're saying. I think if you're Penn State, as you kind of said for the Michigan State game, you just kind of flush that out your system and say, all right, guess what? If we play Ohio State again, it'll be in the playoffs. It'll be, in the semifinal games or the national championship game. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But let's just beat everybody else and try to get to that bridge.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. And again, if they went out, they're in, they probably get a home game, like you said. I certainly think that helps. And that's why I like this new format, because one loss doesn't kill you like it has in the past. And more teams get bites at the apple that never would have before. And so you get the SEC this week with a couple potential elimination games like Alabama, LSU, losers out, winners got life. Ole Miss, if they happen to beat Georgia, like, they'll have some life. But if they lose, they're out. Right. So before, if you had one loss, it was going to be really hard to do anything. But now you actually still got a chance to do some stuff.
All right. Before we wrap up, man, I know Big Ten hoop season has started. Hard to really tell what's going on. I mean, I was at Michigan State's victory over Monmouth, and Izzo was like, well, at least we didn't lose this one. Can we tell anything, or is the season just too young of who's possibly going to be the better teams?
Yeah, I feel like from the overall league itself, I feel like it's too early based on the opponents they play. But from a talent perspective, it looks like both Michigan schools definitely have more dudes than they had a year ago. Now, what they're, you know, what that turns into in January and February, who knows? But it looks like Dusty May did a great job in the portal. It looks like Izzo might have something in Jace Richardson, who certainly looks like he's ready to play a lot of minutes early on. So, again, we'll get to know some of these teams in the next couple of weeks. You know, Michigan State's got Kansas coming up. Michigan's got tough schedules as well. So,
yeah, Madison Square Garden.
Exactly. So we're going to find out a lot more about both of them real soon.
Yeah, I'm going to end it with this. As I was sitting there watching Monmouth, and I'm watching Jace Richardson, and that the old man kicked in at me. It was like, I remember covering Jason in his first game, same floor, in 2000. And because most people don't remember, he was a freshman on the 2000 national championship team. He only averaged like 7 minutes a game, and I think he averaged like less than 5 points a game. But he was actually on the team. They would literally just bring him in to get the alley-oop dunk, hype up the crowd. He was Cohen Carr before Cohen Carr. Just right. Think of it like that. And it's just like, it dawned on me. And then I see Jason at the end of the game, and I tell him, he was just looked at me like, man, time flies. I was like, yeah, time really does fly. But yeah, I don't know how much they're going to end up using Jace. But like I said, we got time to get into hoops later. Because I was kind of looking at like Rutgers, and they got all the, you know, the five-star kids. It should be a fun Big Ten year in hoops.
Sure.
We still got a couple football games to go. So we'll be back next week to break some of these games down. We'll see how right, see how wrong we were. But for Harold Sheldon, from the research manager from the Big Ten Network, senior big research manager, sorry, didn't mean
that's to all story. Good. All good.
I'm Rico Beard. Thanks for watching the 5-Star Zone. Keep liking, subscribing, and telling your friends. We'll be back next week, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.